I know that ensemble has never sung like that before, but they sure need to sing like that again. And I want to say this, and then I'll have you seated. We'll just get to Calvary. And last night, Brother Boyd, and this coming Tuesday will be 30 years of preaching. And something happened last night, never happened before. I was, and you preachers know how it is. I was preaching and talking about Calvary and what I'm going to talk about. And right in the middle of my message, I thought, well, we're not going to have service tomorrow night, but that's okay. And then the preacher came up and he said, you won't have service tomorrow night? And, well, I don't want to sound unspiritual and say no, you know. And so the only thing I know, I really truly believe the Lord planned this tonight. And I want to thank you for coming, for being here all week. You've been so faithful. And I'm not ignorant of the fact that we're not living in the 1800s. I know people are busy and there's schedules and things you got to do, but you have been so faithful. And the preacher has not helped you this week, but the Lord has helped us all this week. And He's been good to us this week. And there have been a couple times. And my dad always tells me I'm half Pentecostal. Now, your preacher said when I got here Sunday morning, I could do what I wanted to. And there was a couple of times they got to singing. I wanted to just keep on singing. But anyhow, I didn't do it this week. And God has moved into music. And God has blessed us this week. And I don't know all the reasons we're here tonight, but I'm just glad we are. And I'm thrilled what God's going to do. Well, you may be seated. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter number 27. Matthew chapter number 27. We are celebrating, and there's men. It's very ridiculous, especially in the day of social media. Men argue over certain times and certain days, and when Christ was crucified, and certain seasons when He was crucified, and when He rose again. And I believe God, He gives us specific reasons and portions of times, but sometimes He doesn't allow us to know. And I believe there's a purpose for that. The only thing I know for sure tonight, I'm glad we have a time set aside to celebrate the death and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I understand this. The world gets in everything that God does, and they try to mess it up. And I'm not against all these traditions and these things. And I know there's Easter egg hunts, and I've seen one church, they don't have an Easter egg hunt. They called it the hunt. I'm thinking, you bunch of hypocrites. They're going to hide eggs. You might as well call it an Easter egg. But anyhow, I'm not against whatever your church does or doesn't do. And like I told you last night, I love Cadbury eggs. I don't think they're of God, but they taste like heaven to me. But anyhow, I'm not against those things. But I do know the world tries to distract us from the true meaning of this season and what that is for the child of God. Tonight, on what many consider the Good Friday, and some believe to be Thursday, with the time of the Passover and things of that, it certainly could be either day. And many use the time, as Jonah was in the belly of the well 3 days and three nights, and certainly you can do that and be accurate. But we understand this. By this time, if this was the day that Jesus Christ bled and died, he's in paradise. He has suffered as no man has ever suffered. And I mentioned this the other night. Preacher, we talked about this sometimes. I go home, and home's not too bad, but the hotel rooms and prophet's chambers, sometimes they get lonely. Can you imagine Jesus? His mother was there, and Mary. But His disciples had turned away from Him. He was beaten. He suffered. There's many medical things that we could explain tonight that are not necessary to explain. The Bible tells us, and I believe, that He shed every drop of His blood. When they pierced His side at Calvary, at the bottom of His lungs was liquid water and blood. There was no blood left in him. He gave everything.
Yeah. Right.
I'm not trying to be critical, but many times we sing of the scars in his hands, but scientifically and medically it takes blood to have scars. I believe for all eternity we'll see the open wounds of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll be reminded that he died for our sins. If we're going to heaven tonight, and if you're saved, you are. It's not because of our works. There are many, even in this season, in this hour, they're depending upon their works. I want to be careful with the statement, but many things have happened, and I don't want to condemn what has happened completely, what has happened at the White House in America this week, but there are many that prayed around our president this week, and they don't even know who God is. And the only reason I say that with authority, biblically, their religion, they're depending upon their works. It's nothing that we have done. Oh, the songwriter put it best, in my hand, no price I bring, but simply to the cross I cling. If we are on our way to heaven, it's because of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's because He suffered, He bled, and He died for all of our sins at Calvary. That day, notice in the Bible, in the Gospel of Matthew, this first book, the foundation of the New Testament, we understand that in Matthew chapter number 26, Jesus has already stood before the high priest. At the end of chapter number 26, Peter, his own disciple, it was already prophesied, it was already predicted that he would deny the Lord Jesus Christ. At the beginning of chapter 27, the chief priests, they took Jesus to Pilate. We find in verse number 3 in this paragraph, Judas kills himself. And I believe with everything in me that Jesus tried to show mercy to this man. But I also believe that he's in hell tonight. Not because of what he had done, because of what he did not do by putting his faith in Jesus. He had killed himself. In verse 11, Jesus once again is standing before Pilate. And you know the story. Barabbas was released instead of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whenever I feel like life is not fair, I must think of this moment. When I think I have been mistreated, I must go back to the time when Jesus was so mistreated. I'm just going to be honest with you tonight. I'm so thankful for what God has done this week, and I'm thankful for the friends that I now have, and I'm thankful for those that I have met this week. So I want to be very honest with my friends this week in the reality of my life. Yes, I'm saved. Yes, I'm a child of God. Yes, I'm on my way to heaven, but I don't deserve any good thing that God has done to me. If I'm still breathing, I ought to praise Him. I ought to give Him glory. I am nothing. I am nobody outside of the grace of God. That's why His grace is still amazing. His grace is still necessary. It is nothing that I've done it myself. I must be careful with my testimony. Yes, my Rachel went to heaven early. But who am I to think that I deserve anything better? God gave me a wonderful marriage for 28 years. God gave me an amazing wife for 28 years. God has given me a daughter that now is serving the Lord with her life. Who do I really think I am to act like I'm somebody that you need to feel sorry for? Who do I really think that I am? I'm here to tell you tonight, it's only because of the grace of God. I've got a father and a mother sitting here in the house of God. God saved him out of a drunken stupor. God saved my mother on an Easter Sunday many years ago. Now, I'm just telling you, there's no complaints. There's no reason to fuss. There is the mercy of God. God's been good to all of us this evening. But every now and then when I go back and think about who I am, I got to go to this moment. Jesus did nothing to deserve Calvary. But yet they released a common criminal. And they crucified my Savior. Not one vile word ever crossed the mouth of the Lord Jesus. He's not a priest, but I'm going to confess. I did more wrong today than Jesus did his whole lifetime because he did not sin. Oh yeah, he was tempted in all points and all ways as you and I. He was all man, not ceasing to be all God. But he was all God, yet not ceasing to be all man. He was tempted to sin. That is not the sin to be tempted. But he never fulfilled the temptation. He never gave in to temptation. He never failed in one way. We're sitting in a Bible college atmosphere many years ago, and an ignorant professor said, Jesus did not sin, but Jesus could have sinned. But there was a dumb, he wasn't real dumb, he was smarter than the professor. There was a dumb freshman sitting in the back of the class, and he said, I got to say something right there. He said, don't interrupt the class, son. He said, I'm getting ready to interrupt your class. My Jesus did not sin, and my Jesus could not sin. I'm thinking to myself, he knows more than that professor. He was all God robed in the flesh. He never sinned. He could not sin. His blood was perfect. His blood is holy. He was all God in the flesh. He did nothing to deserve Calvary. Somebody said, Jesus is my buddy. Jesus ain't your buddy, though he is your friend. But I'll tell you who Jesus is. Don't you put him down on your level. Don't we ever put him down on our level. He was God in the flesh. He was holy then. He's holy tonight. He'll never cease to be holy. There was never a man like this man named Jesus. He was all God, and he'll always be God. Trying to stay where God wants me to stay, but I must say something. You cannot compare the President of the United States of America to Jesus. I'm not concerned about your politics at this moment, but I am concerned about anyone bowing down to a sinful man. I am concerned about anyone comparing some sinful man. I'm not condemning our president. We're all sinners. We all deserve a devil's hell. But I'm telling you, nobody should be put on a pedestal because the Lord Jesus Christ is already sitting on the throne. He's not just a king. He's the King of all kings. He's not just my Lord. He's the Lord of all lords. There's nobody like the Lord Jesus. He deserved nothing and he did nothing to go to Calvary. But notice what they did in verse 15 of Matthew 27. Jesus was sentenced to die. Even though he did no wrong, humanity sentenced him to die. I want you to think about what just happened in that passage. Men thinking they had the right to sentence my God and my Lord to death. The very one that gave them breath. The very one that created them and allowed them to live. Now they think they know more than God. But can we go some 2,000 years in the future? We still have men that think they know more than God. We still have humanity that think they know more than the Bible. I'm just here to tell you, we wouldn't be alive tonight if it wasn't for my Jesus. We wouldn't be in this place if it wasn't for my Jesus. There's nobody like Jesus. So watch verse 32. We're almost there. And as they came out, they found the man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. When they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say a place. Watch the language of the Bible. Not of this skull, but of a skull. When we was in Jerusalem the first time, we certainly don't know the exact place, but we have a good idea. When you look from the garden tomb, there's a cliff that's cut out, and it's not as visible now as it's always been because it's been thousands of years. when you look at the face of that cliff, you see a picture of a skull that God Himself put there. I began to think to myself the first time I went there, there was school children being dropped off in front of that place of the skull. There were school buses running around at the place of the skull. There were people that were there just living their life. But little do they know, that is the place that changed this world and changed the world forever. That is the place where God shed every drop of His blood for sinful mankind. That is the place that Jesus died for the sin of the world. That's the Bible. They were there at this place of the skull. When they came to this place, they gave, verse 34, they gave Him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when He had tasted thereof, He would not drink. Can I say this? We're almost done. Look at the fulfilled truth at Calvary. Verse 35, he's quoting from the Psalms. They crucified Him and they literally parted. They divided His garments, casting lots. Why would they do that? I'll tell you why. Because they were just puppets dangling on the hand of my God. They thought they were doing something to amuse themselves. They thought they were doing something to entertain themselves. But God already said 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years before, this is exactly what is going to happen. They parted His garments, casting lots. Why did they do it? Here's why. That it might be fulfilled, which was already spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. It was already settled in heaven. That is the sovereignty of God. It was a fulfilled truth before Jesus ever hung on a cross, before they ever spat in His face, before they ever plaited a crown of thorns on His head. It was already said in the Word of God. You know what that means? When God created the heaven and the earth, He already knew Adam was sin. He knew Eve was sin. He knew that I was sin. I'll tell you how merciful God is. Before He ever created this world, He knew there would be Calvary. He knew His Son would die. He knew His Son would bleed. I'll tell you what that is tonight. That's the mercy of God. That's the grace of God. He knew that I would fail Him. He knew that you would fail Him. But He made me anyway. He created me anyway. That's how good God is to His children. They thought they were doing what they wanted to the Savior. They had no idea. They were simply fulfilling the plan of God. There at Calvary. Not only is there fulfilled truth, but number two, there's fearless taunting. In verse number 36, and sitting down. Watch this. They watched Him. Yeah. That has to do with this. At least it gives the connotation. It's somewhat of a different situation, but it means they guarded Him. Uh-huh. You sat down. And they were so wicked. And they were so evil. And they were so cruel. They watched Him bleed. They watched Him suffer. And they watched Him die. You say humanity is evil. Humanity has always been evil. Humanity has always been wicked. Humanity has always been like the soldiers at Calvary. They sat there. And they watched Him. As He was shedding His blood for your sins and for their sins. Watch the Bible. Not only was there fulfilled truth, but the fearless taunting in verse 37, and they set up over His head. His, not their accusation, His accusation written. What's that mean? That means that the accusation is true. This is Jesus. All capital letters. The King of the Jews.
Yeah.
I have some friends. I'm not against them. God can use them probably more than whoever used me. But they don't use the King James like I do, and that's fine. They'll answer to God for that mess. But anyhow, their translation. Some of them don't capitalize. You say, is it that important that they capitalize every word? I'm telling you, if you don't capitalize every word in that particular phrase, then you're weakening what God has already said, because it was not. Watch your Bible now. It was not their accusation. It was His accusation. What's that mean? He is the King of the Jews. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. They tried to ridicule. They tried to condemn. But He already knew He was the King of the Jews. But there's a fearless Tony in verse 38. Then were two thieves. Can you imagine crucified with Him? One on the right hand, the other on the left. They that passed by, watch this word, reviled Him, blasphemed Him. Wagging their heads. They're fearless, Tony.
Yeah.
What's that mean? They had no fear of God.
Right.
They had no idea. God in the flesh was hanging on the cross. They blasphemed Him. You can, and they're in hell today, and let me tell you why. You can go get drunk, and you shouldn't. But you can get drunk, and God's going to forgive you. You can go out and commit horrible sin, and God will forgive you. We can go on the rest of the night and list sins, and God's going to forgive them. God's merciful. God's holy. We might as well admit it. If God didn't do that, every one of us would either be in hell or on our way to a devil's hell. But you cannot blaspheme the Holy Ghost. They wagged their heads, and they blasphemed. They had no fear of God. Fearless taunting. And I believe now for 2,000 years as they have burned in hell, they see the face of the Lord Jesus Christ hanging at Calvary that day. I believe they see the blood that was shed on His body. He was not even recognizable because they spit upon Him and they beat Him. But let's go a little step further. I believe there's going to be preachers that are going to die and go to hell, and they'll go back to Calvary when they didn't believe in Him, but they trusted in their religion. I believe there's going to be men and women sitting in by believing churches, and they'll go back to the day the man of God told them about Jesus, and they didn't trust the Lord Jesus Christ for all eternity. They blasphemed, wagging their heads. What did they say in verse 40? Thou that destroyest the temple, buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. They had their doctrine incorrect. They thought He was referring to, He had already prophesied He would do it. They thought He was referring to some building. But it was His body. That's why it's so important to believe in the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why when Jesus comes back, our Rachel's coming out of that grave with a body, a glorified body, likened unto the Lord Jesus Christ. But look what happened. In verse 41, this fearless stoning likewise also. Watch this. The chief priest mocking Him. The scribes and the elders. What's that? The religious leaders. The scribes were the educated. The elders, they had position in religion. They mocked them the very same way. And they did not believe. We pray for Israel. We thank God for Israel. We ask God to bless Israel. But Israel rejected the true Messiah. They rejected the very one that was hanging on the cross, bleeding and dying for their sins. I'm here to tell you, their own preachers, their own religious leaders, they mocked the Lord Jesus Christ. What did they say to Him? He saved others Himself. He cannot save. If He be the King of Israel, let Him now come down from the cross, and then, just religious, we will believe Him. If we can see something, then we'll believe. Let's be very careful in the Baptist churches, because many times we may not sense that we have the same attitude with God if we can just see something. But the Bible said faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It's not what we have seen. I've never seen the face of Jesus, but one day I will. I wasn't there at Calvary. I wasn't there when He got up on the third day. But I believe with every fiber in me, He's alive and well tonight. It's not what you see. It's who you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 43, this treeless stone, and he trusted in God. Let him deliver him now. Watch this. If he'll have him. And you ought to write in the connotation of your Bible, he was him. And he is him. If he'll have him. For he said, I am the Son of God. The thieves also, this treeless stone. The thieves also, I love this, both of them. Watch this. The thieves, the robbers, both of them also, which were crucified, cast the same in his teeth. But yet God allowed one of those thieves to go to paradise. The other rejected him. But one went to paradise with him. That's the mercy of a holy God. Not only is there fearless stoning, but look at their forsaken torture. In verse 45, now from the sixth hour, there was darkness. Around noon, 12 o'clock their time, over all the land, until the ninth hour, around 3 o'clock their time. And about the ninth hour, look at the forsaken torture. Jesus, he spoke again, he cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, forsaken torture. Why hast thou forsaken me? In his humanity, God loves you so much, he did something to his only begotten Son. That he will never do to you or me.
That's right.
He told us he'll never leave us.
That's right.
He'll never forsake us. But when Jesus drank the bitter cup of sin, God had to turn his back. The earth became dark and blackened as midnight. Jesus said, God, why? Can I make this statement? It is not a sin to question God. If it was a sin to question God, Jesus just sinned, but Jesus could not sin. Jesus never sinned. Oh, in his godliness, he knew exactly why. But in his humanity, he felt the pain. He was forsaken. Look at verse 47, this forsaken torture. Some of them stood there. They, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias. Elijah. Straightway, one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let be. Let us see whether Elias will come to save him. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. It is finished. And he gave up the ghost. You cannot kill resurrection. You cannot take the life of one that gives life. So for you and for me, he gave up the ghost. But here's the message, and I'm done. Not only was there forsaken torture, but there's a fantastic triumph. Look at verse 51. He wasn't done. Behold, the veil of the temple was rent, torn in twain from the top to the bottom. The earth did quake, and the rocks were rent, and the graves were opened. Many bodies of the saints which slept arose, and they came out of the graves. Watch this now. 3 days later, after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. They thought they killed him. They thought they destroyed him. But I'm here to tell you tonight, he was alive then, and he's still alive today. He'll never die again. I don't serve a religious leader. I don't serve a man-made politician. I serve the God that conquered death. He conquered hell. He conquered the grave. He is alive forevermore. up from the grave he arose. The mighty triumph. What is the difference? In every other religion in Christianity, here's the difference. Their God is dead. Our God is alive forevermore. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. Can I say tonight? I know we're going to suffer. But we'll never suffer like Jesus suffered. I know life's not fair, but it's not quite as unfair as it was for Jesus. I know life's hard. But we will never feel the pain that Jesus felt. Jesus conquered that pain, that death, and that hell. We serve a risen Savior. Be very careful listening to politicians in your news. There's only one true God. I'm not trying to condemn or be critical, but it did aggravate me. I'm not coming together with everybody that says they believe in God and they don't even know who God is. I don't want anybody praying for me that can't get to the throne of God. Because if they're praying to anybody else, it's not the true God. Our God is alive. He's not hanging on the crucifix. He's not hanging on a cross. He's alive. Tonight. And on whether we want to consider this Good Friday, if it was Friday, I think it's a great Friday. First time we went to Israel, we had Ellie, he was our tour guide, he was a Jew, and we would preach, me and a couple others, and every time we'd preach at a little stop, he'd turn his back. He was listening. He was listening. He died about 7 months later after we were there. But there were some things he said that I enjoyed. We'd go to something, and he'd say something like this. He said, "Now, here's what the Catholics believe." And then he'd look to us and just shake his head like you can believe anything they say. But anyhow, he said, "That's what the Catholics say happens, so you just take that for whatever." And I don't know about the Catholics. I at halftime, I don't know about the Baptists. But I know what the Bible says. He's alive. So can we do this on a Good Friday or a great Thursday or maybe even Wednesday? Who knows? Can we come to an altar?
Yes, sir.
This service was not by accident. I think God just wanted to remind us He's still alive. He's still well. Oh, America's in trouble. America, God, it's better than He's ever been. I want my brother, he's been so kind, to play four men. And I want him to sing in just a moment. But I want us all to come to an altar. I know many people physically can't kneel down. God knows that better than we know that. But to let God know you're serious, maybe you can sit in these front pews, or maybe you're more comfortable standing along the walls. But in just a moment, I want us all to come. If we don't do nothing else, I want to thank Him.
Yes, sir.
I want to let Him know that He showed us mercy and grace when He shouldn't have. Let's all stand, Father. Thank You for Calvary. Lord, our mind is so finite, it's hard to explain the details. God, thank You for what it means to us. So God, we're going to come to an altar. And we're going to praise You. We're going to give You glory for what You've done. Lord, we don't take it for granted. God, we praise You tonight. In Jesus' name, brother, would you sing? They're coming.